The Lord bless you all. I bring greetings from the rest of my family and my sisters, which are also single and serving the Lord, but I guess I'm the oldest, and I go like right after Sister Suzette, right, in that order. That's how it goes. But yes, so I bring greetings for those that don't know me. I'm from Guatemala. We've been in the fellowship since 1978. Walking with Pastor Bailey and Sister Bailey, and then went to Bible school in Guatemala in 89 and graduated in 92. And since then, we have been in the ministry and having had so many, you know, responsibilities and things in the ministry to with children as well as in the church and as an executive in the, you know, in the business world. And I do not have a career, Sister Jeline, but I have to do things that, you know, I'm supposed to have a title for. So I think it's just the Lord that. But I think I bring a message to you all, and the message is that we have all been called for such a time as this, you know, and it's not only me, and this message is probably for the single girls here and ladies, but probably also for the married ones. That probably sometimes you wonder if you have been called to the church or to the ministry, and we have all been called, right? To be daughters, to be pastors, wives, to be leaders, to be executive officers sometimes, and doing things that you never thought you were going to do growing up. So I think we have all been called for such a time as this. And, you know, as we have been hearing this convention, that the Lord has been speaking to us about, even if we go to, that was my first scripture I had in from Isaiah 62:1-2. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. So we live in a very dark world, and but the Lord wants us to shine. And anywhere we are serving the Lord, anywhere and everywhere we are to shine as, and the Lord has a set time for us all. And also, I have in my notes to talk about a woman in the Bible named Esther. And I think we have heard some about her through Sister Linda and also Esther, but from a different perspective, we all know that we are in the house of women, right? We're being prepared. We're in the preparation days, and how Esther was called. And she was chosen, called in the house of Mordecai, and then she was chosen in the house of the woman. And I think we're all in the house of the woman. Probably Sister Suzette is already in the house of our king, right? But we're still in the house of the woman. We're being prepared. And we know that we have to go through sweet experiences and bitter experiences, right, in order to be prepared to function in the house of the king. But it's up to us, really. If we really let the Holy Spirit be our best friend, then the process will speed up. And I think we can see that in because I was reading this translation from the Holman Bible in Esther 2. And we can all go to Esther 2. So we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, we're going to experience the greatest revival the world has ever seen, right? We're that generation. And like we heard from Pastor Wallace today, it's so close. It's closer than we ever imagined. So that's the reason why you are here today, you know? And the Lord that's what the Lord is saying to you today. So it doesn't matter in what stage of our walk with the Lord we are now. It doesn't matter if you are in your winter season or summer or spring or fall, but we are all being prepared in this house, right? We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, then, Esther 2, here we go to Esther 2. After Sister Linda preaching and sharing, well, it's for the single ladies, you can, you know, cope with me, right? Well, 2:12. We read, now, when every maiden turned was to come to go into the king, Xerxes, I don't know how to pronounce this, but you know the king. After that, she had been 12 months according to the manner of the woman, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the woman. And it says in 2:9, We go back to 2:9. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the woman. So this is, she is in the house of the woman, and she has been given 7 maidens. But the woman Bible, Christian Standard Bible, says that it pleased Haggai and gained his favor so that he accelerated the process of the beauty treatments. So it really depends on us, right? If the Holy Spirit will accelerate, you know, this process of, you know, making us beautiful for our king, or slower the process. It's going to depend on our attitudes toward every trial that we face every day. That's what's going to depend if we go to the next house. So this is the house of the Holy Spirit. So we need to make the Holy Spirit be our best friend, right? And let him guide us. And when it talks about 7 maidens, we read in Pastor Bailey's books that 7 is the number of perfection and is the number of completeness. So the Lord wants to have a complete work done in our lives, right? In order to go to the next house. So for some girls here might be marriage. Although marriage is not a happy ending, probably is there's always a happy ending, right, Sister Linda? But it's only the beginning of the rest of one person's life. And sometimes girls think that marriage is going to solve all their problems, and it's going to be like the end. Here I am, Queen Esther, right? I'm on my throne. I have my king, and I have my crown, and... Well, some girls think that way. Probably you don't. But, you know, I come from Latin America, and in our country, you know, just getting married, and that's it. That's what girls want. But that's not it. The Lord also, even he has a stronger call for our lives, a deeper call for our lives, sometimes even more than marriage, right? So we have to prepare for that, but it's up to us how we are being prepared in the house of woman. Right? How much we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with those areas in our life that we are struggling with, that we, as we have been hearing this convention. So it really depends on how we deal with things in our lives. And you know how we influence others? You know, did you know that my father is my boss and my pastor? 3-in-1. So... Yes, so we influence. We're 3 daughters, and we can influence, you know, our father, our pastor, our boss into doing some things. And we don't, if it's not in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we don't want to influence for bad, because we have had several people, and you've heard probably several testimonies about people, you know, young girls or ladies or women that have influenced their, you know, husbands. We influence people around us. We influence people in the church. We influence our leaders, our boss, our parents. So we must let the Holy Spirit really do a work in us, a very deep work in us, because, and then let the Holy Spirit guide us in this house in what, even, you know, how Esther led Haggai, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, lead her into what to wear, how to address, everything. I mean, if we come to a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to conduct myself in this matter, in this situation with these people? And this I have to face almost daily, you know, working as an executive, deal with different people. I really need the Holy Spirit to guide me in so many things, because sometimes my father is not there to give me instruction. So people depend on what I decide and what I do. So I really need the Holy Spirit to guide me. But we influence others very much. Sometimes we think it's the man, but there's a woman always behind a man, right? There's always, so we really need to be a very positive influence over the person who is in authority over us, a good influence, because they make decisions, and we women, since we talk a lot, I mean, we can influence in what decisions are being made. So the Lord really wants us to, you know, to be transformed, you know, by those bitter experiences, by those sweet experiences in the house of women. So it's not like everything has to be bitter. There are going to be sweet experiences in this house. But it will depend on our attitudes and how we handle situations in our lives and how we influence others, especially these days. You know how the youth probably doesn't happen in certain churches, but we've heard of so many churches in Latin America, how the youth have influence, you know, the pastors in order to set a church in a certain direction, how the youth, and that involves men and women, girls and boys, you know, and the youth, they take control over the church. So we really are influencing, even though we are women, we influence men, our pastors, our leaders, and our parents. So we have to, so the Holy Spirit has to do a perfect work in us. But Esther, you know, did everything that Haggai asked her to do. And even when she was to come to the king's palace, she even asked Haggai, what should I wear, right, to be before the king? And sometimes, and we should ask the Holy Spirit too, because you know how fashion and the spirit of the world has come into the church. And that really has influenced so many, even in the way they dress and the fashion. So even that, we have to let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us in what to wear, because we don't want to be like a stumbling block or for someone to fall, right? We don't want to be that. So we should ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in this area. It's very, very, very important. So what was the outcome of Esther being faithful in this area? And one thing that we learned about Esther is that she had a submissive spirit. And with this, I'm not saying I am 100% submissive, like I'm sharing about my experience, right? No, the Lord is dealing with things in my life, and we have to let the Lord, you know, guide us and teach us to be submissive. So even you can imagine Esther being submissive to Mordecai in the first house, then to Haggai, and then finally the house of the king, her husband. So that's one quality, and Vashti was not. Right? She was rebellious. And we don't want to be like her. We want to be like Esther. And so what happened? Then Esther qualified to be the queen. So what do you think? That was the happy ending? Tan, 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 and boom. And so, like I said before, sometimes we think that's the end. And, you know, okay, that's going to... Before I thought, well, marriage is going to solve all my problems. It's not going to solve anybody's problems. It's only the Lord, right? It's only the Lord, and to be in the center of God's will and God's timing, like Sister Suzette said in her testimony, waiting, right? The right time for the right time. So let us not rush into marriage, like I'm rushing, right? Still waiting. So just wait, you know, in the perfect one. But one thing we have to do is just, you know, the Lord will take us to this house of the king, but we have to qualify. But then when we are in the house of the king, then also in that house, there's still a task for us. So that's why we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There is a greater thing that the Lord has for all of us, for you and for me, still to come. So what happened with Esther? And this I really face all the time. What happened with Esther? If we go to chapter 4 and verse 13, it says... Okay, she's seated on the throne. She's the queen. We can picture the queen. And we can picture the king, right? It's like fairy tale. Everything's in order, in position. They have the kingdom. Okay, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." But verse 14 says, we know the story and what happens, right? In between what happens, the word came out that the Jews were going to be killed, and we know the story. But it says in verse 14, that for if thou together holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But you know why Esther performed that, what she performed? Why was she chosen? Why? Because we see in the Holman Bible says, if you keep silent at this time. So she had a choice, right? To speak or to keep silent. And we face this all the time. Are we willing to save a life by speaking? Or are we going to lose a life? by speaking. Because here it says that if she kept silent, salvation and deliverance were going to come from somewhere else. So if we keep silent, sometimes we'd rather keep silent, right? Because we don't want to suffer the consequences of speaking up and saying something, right? Especially when it's concerning a situation where you have to report somebody. And we deal with this a lot at the refuge because we have kids, you know, boys and girls and older boys, older girls. And there's people that don't want to report. But by reporting or saying, coming to the authority and saying, you know, this and this and this is happening, you're saving a life from the flesh, from the world, even from hell. So that really was the issue in Esther's life. What I see here is that if she didn't speak, we can imagine a whole nation was going to be destroyed. And probably deliverance would have come from others. But don't we want to be vessels, you know? The crowns that are going to be placed upon us in heaven, you know? Because we saved many lives. Are we willing to do that? And Esther said, if I perish, I perish. See these words? If I perish, I perish. So are we willing to lay down our lives for others? So see, this is happening in the king's house, no fairy tale, right? It's either we live or die, right? In order to save a life. So that's one thing that we face all the time, and you face all the time, probably in your churches, in your work. Sometimes we face this a lot. In so many areas, we face this a lot. So if we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, then there will be times that we have to speak. Right? And like women's men would say, don't speak. Right? Keep silent. Don't say a word. But there are times when it comes to save a life that we don't keep things to ourselves. We have to come to the authority that is above us, right? And to speak. And that's one thing that Esther did. So we have the consequences and the result up to this day. Even, you know, the Medes and the Persians, they still remember Esther up to this day because she chose to speak, to talk. If I perish, I perish. I will come to the king's presence, and if I perish, I perish. So that's one thing. And that the Lord has to deal with us, and we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's sometimes when you do that, it's a very lonely place to be, right? No one wants to be close to a person that is always saying, correcting, right? That is a very lonely place to be. But, you know, if we have the vision of Zion written in our hearts, and I have a question for you. We have come to the kingdom to the most exciting time of history, you know, when revival is coming and the Lord is going to use us. And because the Lord has been giving us words to Zion, right? So, have you been born in Zion, right? We can be a part of a Zion church, but like Pastor Bailey always said, have we been birthed in Zion, right? You all have to answer that question. If we are, then we're going to experience the greatest revival, be a part, right? We're going to be vessels. Are going to carry his glory and are going to be a part of the revival that is soon to come. And one thing that we have to do as leaders, and I have to face this all the time, is not to lower my standards. And we don't lower our standards. Zion doesn't lower its standards. Zion keeps the standards very high. And you know how nowadays, you know, the spirit of the world has come to the church in such a way that is lowering the standards. And sometimes it's through the young. Right? They say, oh, this, oh, let's do this, let's do that. But no, we cannot through music, through fashion, through things, doing things, other people, what's in fashion, right? Like what everybody's doing. But we don't lower our standards, and that's one thing that we face all the time. We do not lower our standards. Do we still know what is wrong and what is right? You know who knew this very well? The sons of Zadok. And we want to be part of that lineage, right? Like Ezekiel 44 says, if we go to Ezekiel, if we read in Ezekiel 44, verse 13, we see the Levites who wandered away from the Lord and they went astray, those Levites that didn't remain faithful. But there were other Levites that remained faithful, and those were the sons of Zadok, the descendants of Zadok. When Absalom rebelled, Zadok and its descendants were always by David and always upheld the standards. And are we being faithful ourselves of upholding the standards ourselves? That's another question. Are we keeping the standards of Zion? Are we keeping the teachings that we have been receiving for so long? We know that the sons of Zadok in Ezekiel 44:15, it says, but the Levitical priests descended from Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the Israelites went astray from me, will approach me to serve me. They will stand before me to offer me fat and blood. They are the ones who may enter my sanctuary and draw near to my table to serve me. They will keep my mandate. And it says here that they kept the charge of the Lord's sanctuary. What have you been giving in charge of? Are you in charge of something? In your church, in your ministry, in your job? Are you keeping it faithfully? That's what the Lord is commanding us. If we are the descendants of Zadok who will minister in the sanctuary in the millennium, then we are truly the faithful sons and daughters of Zadok. And we also need to teach others to do so, right? If we have keep our standards ourselves high, we teach others to keep them straight and high, right? If we're walking on the pathway of righteousness, we don't want to walk astray with others. Peer pressure sometimes, right? No, we don't want to walk astray. We want to bring them back to the path, way of righteousness. What will be said of us then? That we kept the standards faithfully? Like Romans 12, or are we going to be conformed to the world? Like Romans 12:2 says, right? If we read there, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, like Pastor Rob Tucker was saying today, right? We have to let the Lord renew our mind. That's where all the battles come, right? We fight them. If we win them in our minds, then we're victorious in every other area. Right? Our minds are terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We start thinking about so many things, right? In 1 minute, and there was this time when I was going through a season of stress. You know what stress is? Well, it's terrible. Because you're under a lot of stress, and I have to fix this. I can do it, and then you rely on yourself, and you have to go see this through, and the Lord says, where am I? Hello, I'm here. When are you going to call upon me, right? But the Lord then, I went through a lot of stress for one or two years, but until I really had, like, you've been there, maybe. You hit the heartbeat, shortness of breath. You feel like you're going to die. I am going to die. There's something wrong with me, you know. And then we've faced this with the girls at the refuge as well. You know, they grow older. They come to adulthood. And then they feel all these kinds of illness. They're sick, okay. So we have to take them to the doctor. And the doctor says, you don't have anything. Are you dealing okay with your problems? And are you, you know, trying, do you know how to handle your problems? And they, well, of course, sometimes they say yes or no, but if you know how to, if you leave all your cares upon, in Jesus, he will care for you. All your burdens we lay at his feet, he will care for us, right? So the root problem of stress is our mind, right? If we let the Lord renew our mind, then stress, we will feel that relief. In our minds first, and then our soul will feel better, and then our body will feel even better, right? But stress is one thing that we all face and that we all go through. So I experienced that, but this Rhema word was given to me, you know, cast all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. It's like taking a heavy coat, right, out of you, or a heavy bag. Just leave it in the altar and the Lord takes care of that. But we all face that. And sometimes we think, what is wrong with me? This illness is going to kill me. There's something. You keep going to the doctor here. You go to the doctor there. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And then as soon as you learn to rest in the Lord, then you are free and you are healed. So that's one thing that I have learned in my life. And you face a lot of stress when you work with children and you work in an office and a lot of stress. One other thing that another person in the Bible that I like so much is Deborah. You know how because I am in a position of authority, but I know that in order to have the Lord's authority, I have to be under authority, right? Like the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He was under the authority of his Father, so his Father gave him authority, and he was able to perform miracles and do wonderful things because he was under authority. So if we are under authority, the Lord will bring us his authority. And we see in Judges 4:4-5, that says, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." So we know that the palm tree talks about uprightness of heart, righteousness. So the Lord wants us who are in positions of authority to be upright, to be righteous, and to judge. Do you say impartially? Right? Not one side or the other, but impartially. And sometimes that is hard, right? Because we tend to go here or here. But the Lord has taught me, you know, to be impartial. And those that are in position of authority, you know, especially single ladies, we need to be upright in this area. We have to also, but we also see that she was submissive to her husband, right? Even though she was a judge, and she would judge others, she was submissive to her husband. That's one thing that we are never alone. We're never our own boss. We're never, we cannot do our thing, right, as women. There has to be always, it's a covering, right, to have the authority of a father, of your boss, of your church leader or pastor, right? It's a covering for you. But Deborah, she worked. I don't know if the meaning in English is the working bee or just a bee, Deborah. Well, something like that. But we know how bees are. They work, but they lead and they work. And sometimes there are people that want to lead but don't want to work, right? And they just want to lead and just stay there and, okay, come for judgment, I will judge you, and then that's it. But they work, and they work in, they keep their house, they keep their children. You know, they have a job to do in their house and in the church, as well as they lead. So we do not neglect working, right? Okay. That's another thing, but we should not be, we should be very just and upright. And that's one thing that I have learned. Sometimes I have to deal with things. And in one's life, right, you can do two things when you deal with things, or when you have someone over you, a boss or your leader, and tells you to do something, and you perhaps forgot, and you say, "Yes, I did it." And sometimes you tend to lie, right, in order to save your job. That's one thing that you don't want to do. You better tell the truth and suffer the consequences. And then the lessons are better than always lying and lying and lying. If I get away with lying, I don't know where I would be right now after, you know, being in the same job for 25 years. Probably I would not have had this job. I don't think. It's very important, very important that we're truthful, that we walk in the truth, in the light, right? Bring everything to the light, not keep things in the darkness, because that eventually will come to light. Right? So we want to always, always be in the light and lead others to walk in the light. That's very, very important. So like I said before, we were started walking with Zion. My parents met Pastor Bailey and Sister Bailey in 78. Pastor Bailey came to Guatemala in the 70s because we had a massive earthquake there. And he came to help. After the earthquake. And in 76 and in 78, my parents met Pastor and Sister Bailey, and he water baptized my parents. And since then, we have been walking with Zion. And we have seen so many things, and so many people go astray and just not following the Lord. And that's a very sad place to be, right? But just to keep faithful, we went to Bible school, and like most of you, going to Bible school right after Bible school, and you know, in the 20s, you like a guy, and the guy obviously likes you, right? So I went through that, and the Lord just showed me that he was not the right one, and at the time, it's hard, right? But now, it's good. I didn't, you know, go further with this guy. Because the last I heard is that he mistreats his wife. So I think the Lord just spared me from a huge heartbreak. So that is something that you learn, you know, in your life, just to be in the center of God's will for your life. And that is that's the best place you can be. And I don't know how I'm in time. Someone tell me to have some, like, 5 minutes? Okay. And to close with this, I think my mom will share a little bit more about this later. But we don't want to faint while doing right. Right? Like Galatians says. That's what one thing that the Lord wants us, and a dear sister reminded me of that a while ago. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Then we all will grow weary, and we grow weary, but in well-doing. And that's when we lower our standards, when we grow weary, right? And we faint. We don't want to faint, right? We should keep doing the right thing and keeping the standards of Zion, no matter what. And then we will reap, right? Good fruit. Probably we sow with frustrations and tears, but we'll reap with joy. Amen. So we have all come to a kingdom for such a time as this, but we are in the house of the woman, and we are being prepared for, you know, to meet our King, the King of Kings, and He's coming soon. So let us make sure that we let the Holy Spirit deal with the issues of our heart, and let us keep faithful in the ministry and the work that we are doing for His glory. Amen. The Lord bless you.